joining us right now. He has the longest active streak of just being awesome. I don't know what the segue is. I just wanted to get to him right now. It is our dear friend, Mr. Lincoln Kennedy. Lincoln, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Well, thank you. And before that introduction, the check is in the mail. I might have to wrap you guys a Christmas present like I'm doing for the rest of the family right now.
Oh, nice.
Well, I mean, first off, I'm fine with that with Lincoln's bankroll. You know, that's going to be, he's got that NFL retired player bankroll going on.
Well, the key word was retired, so it's not really a bankroll. It's just banked.
You know, before we get started, like a question I've never asked you, you played on that line, and those guys tend to sometimes have interesting diets. I've never asked you this before, but do you have at the top of your head, or maybe even the middle of your head if it takes you a second, what like a, I don't know, a typical meal would be for you when you were at your biggest and baddest and heaviest?
As far as game meal or what, just during the week?
I'm trying to make the point that you probably used to eat a lot of food, a lot more than you do now.
Well, I mean, I have to disagree with you because I was always a big guy, so the more I ate, the heavier I got and the less effective I was. So I had to watch it. But I played with guys like Nolan Harrison, like Steve Wisniewski, guys that had to eat constantly just to keep their weight up to par. And these were offensive and defensive linemen. So I wasn't necessarily one of those guys that's going to sit down and eat like a T-bone for two or, you know, a big 40-ounce ribeye. I couldn't do that because, first of all, I'd get in trouble getting fined. So, you know what I mean?
You hear these stories about guys.
Like the Gilbert Brown burger. You remember him for the Packers?
Yes.
But you also saw how big he was, right?
Right. Yeah.
So it's guys like him, and I think guys like Wolfork, Vince Wolfork was playing with Houston. I mean, when you see him, we were making a joke about it on the air the night when we were in Mexico City, how I think his number 775. There should be a zero in between it because the numbers are so spread. And don't get me wrong. I mean, Vince is a nice guy and stuff like that. But, you know, the thing is that some people reported that he ate himself out of New England. And I think Greg Popper reported that he ate New England. So
Yeah, he should have been named, Vince Will Spoon.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Dave,
really? I'm
curious, though, Lincoln, because when I first went into the WNBA, I think I was like a $1.65, like soaking wet, right? They listed me at like a $1.85, right? Do they do the same, or is it different in the NFL based on the position you play in terms of them fudging your height and your weight stats?
Most of the time, guys like me, I wanted to use the combine weight because it was the lowest I was.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I made money, I wasn't scrambling around for food.
Right.
I mean? So I wanted to use that combine weight. So somebody came up and said, yeah, you weigh 335. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. I weigh 335, yeah. We're going to go with that one. Just stay with that one. Okay, next question. You know what I mean?
Lincoln Kennedy's with us on KHDK. Well, I mean, niceties aside, let's talk about the Raiders for a second, Lincoln, and just, I mean, straight out of the gate, how much was Derek Carr's finger bothering him on Thursday?
You know what? I don't think I don't think the finger was an issue. Guys, it was frigid cold, and this is one of the reasons why every quote-unquote NFL expert will tell you teams need to run the ball in November, December, just for those instances. I mean, it's so cold. It's cold in that instance where you think about it. If you're a quarterback, if you have to use your hands, we take for granted that we wear gloves. We take for granted that we can put our hands in a pocket to keep them warm. But when you're out there running routes and your hands are exposed, those gloves don't necessarily offer warmth. All they do is offer stick-em in order to catch the ball. And sometimes you got to have warm hands to be able to do that. And the thing is, you saw so many drops. You saw so many errant balls. I mean, Derek only completed, 17 completions out of 41 attempts? So it was an off night. It happens.
Lincoln, I'm curious because we hear a lot about, the Thursday night games because it's the short week. Do you think it would have been a much different game for the Raiders if this game were happening on Sunday versus Thursday? And how unfortunate is that you get such a crucial divisional game on a short week?
Well, the NFL doesn't show you any favors. I mean, but it's always been the players don't like Thursday games because it throws off the routine. Who knows if the outcome would have been different if it was on Sunday, but I do know this. The players would have been a lot more rested, and you might have, let's say you might have a Kelechi Osemele in there who had to miss the game due to illness in such a quick turnaround. I mean, so who knows? You might have had a full strength. So you can't say whether or not it would have been a different outcome, but I do know this. These guys, they don't like Thursday games. They hate Thursday games.
Lincoln Kennedy joining us on KHTK. Here's my thing, Lincoln, and maybe I'm Mr. Excuse Maker, but I'm looking at Derek Carr and I'm saying, wow, you had just the worst game maybe of your professional, if not your entire life. As you mentioned, Osemele, either the top or second best guard in the league, he's out, all that stuff considered, and they were still right there at the end. I'm not going to say I feel good after the loss, but the defense stepped up, did their job, and that's been the big question. Special teams in the offense, you know, took a dump. I'm feeling a little good coming out of that game for the future.
Well, I've said, look, everybody don't throw up the panic flag. They're 10-3. They're still in the playoffs. 10-3 in December is not a bad record. That's, I mean, it's a damn good record, so it is what it is. But the thing is that they lost, you know, most of the Raider Nation are just mad because they lost the chance for right now. Initially, if the playoffs started, they'd have to go on the road. They lost the chance of having a home game or maybe having a home field advantage. So that's lost. But all is not lost. I mean, they're 10-3. They've got some work to do, and they got to hope that maybe Kansas City drops one. I mean, Kansas City's beatable, in my opinion. I saw so many flaws in that team. They jumped out to an early lead, and the Raiders shut them down in the second half. The last score they had was a punt return. And if the Raiders had a few more things bounced their way, there would have been a different outcome. But, you know, they beat them. They still, you know, you take your losses and just as much as you take your wins. But all is not lost. You know, Washington is still doing well.
Lincoln Kennedy joining us this morning on KHTK. Lincoln, one of the things that has really begun to come clear to me is the fact that the first four or so weeks of this season, we were extremely concerned about the Raiders' defense. The offense has never been a concern. They did not have a good outing against the Chiefs. However, the defense absolutely, over the last 4 weeks or so, have really started to prove that, yes, they are contributing in a big way. How important is that at this point of the season, and what has the difference been in that defense?
Absolutely essential. I think it's absolutely essential that the defense plays a pivotal role, because you don't want to get in shootouts every week. There are going to be times where offense just isn't clicking as efficiently as it has in past weeks, and you need to find a way to slow people down and stay in the game, and the defense did that. Calls and turnovers, especially on the plus side of the field, giving the offense opportunities to score. Now, the offense didn't pull its weight by coming through, but it's essential that the defense does that. Now, and you ask, what's the change? Well, it's hard to really put your finger on what the change is, other than, I would say, familiarity with the defenses that they're running. Now guys kind of understand the chemistry amongst themselves as the teammates. More importantly, they kind of understand their role under, you know, coach, defensive coordinator Ken Norton's dream or vision. So I think they're playing a lot better within themselves. But more importantly, their stars are making plays. I mean, you look at what Khalil Mack has done over the past couple of weeks. You look at the impact that Bruce Irvin has had. Look at the impact that guys like T.J. Carey have played in the absence of D.J. Hayden. I mean, these are key guys stepping up and making plays, and that's exactly what your defense needs.
Lincoln Kennedy with us on KHTK. Lincoln, Jack Del Rio has done a really good job this year of keeping the guys focused, and then especially in the media, making sure he sticks to that one week at a time kind of mentality. But, you know, sometimes those goals can change over the course of a season, and going into the final quarter of the year, the Raiders were obviously in prime position to get that number one seed. Did those goals change at all? Did they start talking at all about, hey, we have an opportunity to secure a first round bye or home field advantage, any of that stuff? Or are they still kind of sticking with the 1 week at a time?
No, you can't project that. Well, you got to stay with the message that you had all year, even before this game. You know, beating Carolina the way they did, beating Buffalo the way they did, and positioning themselves the way that they had. You have to stay focused. The fact is that you got still three key pivotal games, and all of them can help decide the tiebreakers with KC and other teams. If the playoffs started today, they would have to go to Houston. But, you know, they still have to play San Diego. They still have to play Denver. They still have to play Indianapolis. And Kansas City shares a little bit of the same fate, at least in Denver and San Diego. And then they have to play Tennessee. Now, there's a good chance that, you know, Kansas City could drop a couple of those games. The Raiders could find themselves back in the top spot. But they have to take care of business on their own, which means they have to go out and win.
Lincoln Kennedy with us on KHTK. Again, Excuse Maker Joe right here. But Is it, you know, in boxing, they have a saying, styles make fights. Is it just at all possible, take the Atlanta win out, is it just possible that the Chiefs have the Raiders' number and that's just that particular matchup, that they're just fine for the rest of the NFL, but those Chiefs, for some reason, absolutely own Jack Del Rio and the Raiders?
I mean, yes, it's possible. I mean, it's absolutely possible. I mean, the fact is that, and I told you guys a story, I think it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago, when we went 12-4, we lost both games to Denver. We owned the rest of our division, but we lost both games to Denver in that season, you know, and then the post in the AFC Championship. That could very, very well be, you know, the same thing for Kansas City, for whatever reason it is. And there are times where you have to figure out a way to get over that hurdle in order to be effective. You remember how long it took Indianapolis to beat New England? Forever.
Yeah.
You know, Manny could not beat Brady. And then when he finally did, what happened? He went to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's instances like that. There are times, there are teams that are other teams' kryptonite.
Lincoln, we know how important Derek Carr is to this team. Khalil Mack on the defensive side. In your mind, who is another player that, as we close out the season here, is going to have to come up big for the Raiders?
Boy, there's quite a few. First one that comes to mind is got to be Bruce Irvin, because he's got to complement Khalil Mack. They have got to corral the outside perimeters of these pass rushes, especially when these teams like you're facing, like San Diego and Denver, and even Indianapolis, want to go to shotgun formations. They've got to have big pass rushes against these offensive lines. And then collective effort, I think, who's going to have to rise to the occasion even more so, and I think they've done a good job, but they have to take it a step more, is this offensive line. Because you think about it, the Raiders' offensive line is going to have to go up against guys like Joey Bosa next week in San Diego, guys like Von Miller at the end of the year in January 1. In between whoever, you know, the Indianapolis Colts throw at you, they're going to have to go up against. And they've got pass rushes. All three teams got pass rushes. They've got to find a way to keep Derek Carr healthy. They can't afford to have any more sacks, because there are instances where Derek might come down awkwardly on that hand, and that's the last thing you want.
Lincoln Kennedy with us on KHTK. You know, another group I would throw in there, Lincoln, and surprisingly so, would be the wide receivers. And when you look at the names, I mean, Crabtree, Cooper, Seth Roberts has been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But going into Thursday's game, Derek Carr had more dropped passes for more yardage than any quarterback in the league. How do you tighten up something like that? I mean, that's kind of uncharacteristic of this group.
Well, it is. But I think, like, when Amari Cooper came in after his first year, he was up in the top five as far as drops. It's been something that you know, we've kind of taken for granted, you know, guys like Michael Crabtree reaching down and grabbing balls by the back end of the ball and stuff like that, being able to pull it in, and then you see the number of drops. It's one of those unfortunates that if you plan on going anywhere, if you plan on doing anything as far as the playoffs, you got to find a way to limit those or to stop them. And it's not just Amari Cooper Crabtree, it's unanimously. Sometimes it's the placement. But I remember the great Tim Brown, Hall of Famer, he told me one time, he said, look, Link, his philosophy that he tried to perpetuate to the receivers and when he was playing is that if you get two hands on the ball, you're fine if you don't catch it.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Lincoln Kennedy joining us on KHDK. I got to ask you, man, I'm seeing almost two touchdown lines on Alabama-Washington.
Lay it.
Right? Right?
Lay it.
Come on.
No respect. Hey, look, with all due respect, there's no doubt in your mind, in anybody's mind, Alabama is clearly the best team in the country, absolutely. But anything can happen in a single game elimination. I'm going to go down to the Peach Bowl and work with the Pac-12 Network, and so I'm hoping for a good turnout. But I think with this offense and with the ability of this offense and Jake Browning's offense has shown in the past, I know Alabama's good.
Hold on.
Gee, go ahead. We got you. Sorry. I was on the stupid page that says that. All of a sudden, they're playing a freaking infomercial, Lincoln. I'm sorry. Minus 16.
No, but here, you know what? Hey, look, it's not going to be easy for the Dogs. They're going to get it to Alabama in basically a home game. That's not right.
I'm curious with you, though. Now, so I love that you're going to be down there at the Peach Bowl. Is it, man, I'm getting paid to be on the sidelines of a game I'd want to go to anyways. I'm getting my trip paid for. I'm getting money in my pocket. Or is it, man, I love my job, and I know you do, and I know you respect your job, but at the same time, I'm going to have to be working, and I would rather just be sitting front row and watching the game.
I love my job, and I'm glad that I'm going to be there. To me, the correlations between this season and what we did 25 years ago, it's strange that it just happens that, you know, 25 years later, they're in a chance to play for a national championship and possibly win again a national championship up against one of the greatest teams of this decade. And it's a huge challenge, and I can see nothing more than wanting to be on the sidelines and witness it, whether it comes true or it's, you know, an epic collapse. At least I want to be there to support Coach Pete and the boys.
You're fair, but let's be honest. I mean, you're an alum, so let's just call you a little bit of a homer for the Huskies. I'm a homer for Jake Browning. So is it that we're both a little bit homer, or is it the stupidity, or is it East Coast bias as to why you're seeing it's, by the way, 16 points now, Alabama favorite, and Jake Browning wasn't even invited to New York.
Lay it. To me, it is the East Coast bias because, to me, I honestly thought, well, I felt this all along. They want to have Alabama, and they want to have one of the other premier brands. Now, Washington's not there. As much as my Husky fans would like to see it, you're not as big as Ohio State.
Sure.
You're not as big as Clemson. You're not as big. I love you guys in Seattle, but let's just keep it real. So they want to have that. So that's why they positioned the way they did. There was really no reason for Ohio State to drop out of the two spot when they didn't play. They just took care of business if you were so enamored. Unless, what? You want to see that. You want to see them play, possibly play against Ohio State in the championship.
Yeah, and you look at that. I saw, and Grant Napier was wondering the same thing. We were both grousing on Twitter. How the hell is Jake Browning not even in New York? I get he's not going to win. How the hell are you not even in New York?
It's big branding. That's what it is. It's Oklahoma had its two, you know, and everybody talked about, you know, to me, I was like, I wouldn't even put Oklahoma in the conversation. Yes, D.D. Westbrook and Mayfield had great seasons, but let's keep it real. They're playing in the Big 12. They don't play any defense there. They basically lay down at the snap of the ball. So
I was in New Orleans at the Sugar Bowl when Ohio State, in the first year of this new playoff format, they were taking on Alabama.
Yeah.
And before the game, all you heard was Bama fan. And I sat there and watched Ohio State dismantle Alabama in that game and go on to win the national championship. Again, I know we're a little biased towards Washington, but they've got a shot at these guys, don't they?
I think they got a shot. It would have helped more if Lane Kiffin would have took the job at Houston like we originally heard, and then not been in the bowl game. But it is what it is, and for that matter, I think they got a shot. More importantly, I think they'll find a way to keep it close. I don't think, you know, look, Alabama's not that good on offense. They're definitely damn good on defense and special teams, but if Washington can take care of the football, I think anything's possible.
Lincoln, we appreciate your time. As always, have a great week. We'll talk to you next Monday, hopefully after a Raider win.
Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you guys.
Take care.
That is Lincoln Kennedy. Couple more numbers for you before we go to break here, if you would, just because these are so much fun.
Sure.
Remember the beginning of the year how Odell Beckham, people were just wondering, he hadn't scored a touchdown through week five.
Yes, he was a trash fantasy football player for like 6-7 weeks.
Well, somebody traded for him at that point, and somebody's very happy because since week five, Odell Beckham Jr. has 9 touchdown receptions. That leads the NFL. So there's that. Dak Prescott thrown to Dez Bryant over the 2 games versus the Giants. 1 of 10 with 8 yards and 2 picks.
Golly.
Wait, what? Say that again?
Dak Prescott over the 2 games against the Giants this year, throwing to Dez Bryant is 1 of 10 with 8 yards and 2 interceptions.
Is that bad?
I don't think that's going to get the job done. I don't think so. The
Go ahead. Add a number.
Yes, please.
Todd Gurley has failed to go over 100 yards in 20 of the last 21 games.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
And
yikes.
We got sound from him here we can get to later where he compared his team to a middle school team.
No.
Let's see.
They lost to the Niners by like 3 scores.
The Warriors, as you saw, got just the you-know-what kicked out of them by Memphis over the weekend.
Yeah, they did.
They turned around and won last night, stopping that losing streak at, you know, 1. The Warriors have played 111 straight games without back-to-back losses in the regular season.
That is good.
Note I don't say the postseason. 3-1. 111 games without 2 losses. Nate Goodyear in the back.
You want some breaking news that'll make Lincoln Kennedy happen?
Yes.
Alabama offensive coordinator Lane Kiffin agrees to become Florida Atlantic's next head coach, according to ESPN.
FAU. F-A-U. So there you go. All right, that will make him very, very happy. He's got a prep and stuff. When we get back, Sean Salisbury will join us, and I'll tell you, screw Tom Brady, screw Joe Montana, screw all these guys. The real king of the comeback is Jim Caldwell, and I'll tell you exactly why when we return. It's the Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.